the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome to yet another edition of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. It's a doubleheader today. I'm going to be taking double duties. Joey has the night off. Good for him. But I have the hot seat, and I'm going to have a couple of good guests coming on today. I'm Len, of course, and Joey is my co-host who's not here. So if you have any questions to do with this show, send them over to me. But before we go any further and bring on our honored guest, I want to talk about two sponsors that are sponsoring the show. Number one, EasyDNS, and getting a lot of praise these days because of the product that they have. So it is one of the best places that you can, actually, it is the best place that you can get for Anycast DNS, for domain name registrations, web hosting, email hosting. You could do email migration. So if you have your email in Gmail and you want to migrate it over to somewhere else, this is the place to do it. Just sign up and get it done. Virtual private servers, they have that covered. You could even do Nostr relays. Well, they did it, not anymore, but Nipo 5, they have that ability. So if you're on the Nostr platform and want to get Nostr verified, you're able to do this. Lots of opportunities to do that. Lots of things you could do with EasyDNS. It's fast, it's reliable, and of course, you could pay with Bitcoin. If you want to part with it, go right ahead. They will take your dirty fiat if that's what you're interested in paying with for the services. So check them out. Tell them that we sent you when you do that. But anyways, we have a second sponsor too, which is Bull Bitcoin. And if you're looking for some KYC-free Bitcoin, they have the ability to do that. So you go to Canada Post, give them your dirty fiat, and they give you some KYC-free Bitcoin as a result. If you want to pay your bills, you could do that. You could live off the Bitcoin standard, buy your Bitcoin, sell your Bitcoin. You can get even gift cards. There's so many opportunities over there. They have also Lightning, and they have even liquid Bitcoin. So lots of opportunities to get your hands on Bitcoin, the sidechain of Bitcoin, which is liquid, and even Lightning. You could get that straight from Bull Bitcoin. Really cool stuff. We have a referral code below. If you want to get on, feel free. Use our referral code. You're going to get $21 added to your account after doing that, after funding your account. But formalities are now out of the way. Let's bring on the man of the hour. And I'm going to try my best to pronounce his name. It's Ivan Makedonsky. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Awesome. Yeah.
All the way from Bulgaria. This is the first guest that we've had from Bulgaria. So thank you for coming on the show. And he is, it's 2 o'clock in the morning over there, so it's quite late. So I want to just say thank you for coming on our show. And we're very humbled for having you here. Ivan, before we go any further, just give us some background about you. Give us, you know, what's up with you. How did you get into Bitcoin? And your whole Bitcoin journey. Because for people that are unaware who you are, maybe you could just give some background about you.
Yeah, I would say that in previous podcasts I went deeper into the topic, but the cliff notes here I'm happy to share. I really had a problem in the fiat system in my personal journey before researching this Bitcoin thing, that I lost my mother because of money. And because I was trying to solve the problems about me and my sister being protected in this uncertain environment, and so that nobody will help us, and not only that, there are systems in place that protect themselves, and they will throw you under the bus. For example, there was some money in her bank account that was hers, but because of the situation, they said, we need to wait a certain amount of time so we know who we should give the money to. But while we waited, they depleted the account. It wasn't a lot of money, but the bank protected itself, and we didn't get anything. And I found out that when you're gone, even if you have a will, it's not your will. It's what the state allows it to be. So if your will is not written by the rules of the law, that means that it's invalid. And other people took advantage of that and while I was dealing with all sorts of problems about this issue, when I found out that Bitcoin is the ultimate protection against that, and it's the will that you can execute exactly that you want, then I was a true believer. And then I said, okay, I need to do something in this space, and started reaching out to people. And it's another story how I actually ended up in Breeze, but I'll leave it here for now and leave you where you want to take it.
Just curious, what's your technical background? Because it sounds like to me you have a great deal of knowledge and you're able to apply that in the Lightning Network sphere. But I'm curious, what is your technical background and how it helped you with your Bitcoin career?
I would say there is almost no technical background. I'm not a developer. In Breeze, I'm the first non-developer person. My skills were around, I would say, Excel, because I was in managerial jobs and I needed to build charts. Then I studied visualization so I can create them dynamically and stuff like that. But it was out of necessity. I didn't really study about it and get certificates or anything, but I needed a chart. I found out how to do it in Excel, did it for myself. Then Google Data Studio came to play. Then I studied that and stuff like that. So I would say my technical knowledge is about that. And right now I'm writing subscripts with ChatGPT, but I'm still not a developer. I'm focusing on the other things. I'm about marketing, as I said, creating visuals, charts, operations, human resources, like anything else but developing. That's my knowledge. And because Breeze needed that type of personality to help on that front, because there was only developers and the CEO was taking care of all of that, he was reaching out to people to find and to fill that role, so take off the load of his shoulders. And luckily, out of all the interviews, they decided to go with me.
I love your title. It's Chief of Staff?
Yeah. The official title is Chief of Staff, but the unofficial title is Chief of Stuff. So anything that's not and I could be doing it. So yeah,
that's odd. Now I'm curious with ChatGPT, and I just want to dive deep into this. Well, maybe not too deep, but I'm curious: is you use that tool to help you with your creating of charts, the markets, and the human resources? Is that also applicable to that aspect of your job?
Well, currently I'm facing one particular task that we need to scrape some data from a lot of transactions in the Bitcoin network. And in order to do my work even more efficiently, it's not that I can do it another way through Excel, but it's with Google Sheets or Excel, it will take me 5 days. When I found out, okay, I can build the script, now it takes me 1 hour. So that's the difference. And just shout out to Jeff Booth, his thesis, playing in real life. So that's how I'm using it. But obviously, the real soldiers are the actual developers. Mm-hmm. And ChatGPT can't help you in the Lightning Network because ChatGPT is building from 2021 libraries. And right. Lightning Network, nothing is written yet. It's a mystery where and exactly how it's going to be applied. So you have to be highly technical. ChatGPT is no use there, but it is very useful for stuff that are already known, like give me a formula for sheets or give me a small script so I can load files and automate my work a little bit. So that's what I'm using it for.
And have you used Google Bard? And any comparison that you could give us between the two products?
Actually, no. I mean, I know about it, but we have not dug in yet.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, let's touch a little bit on Breeze, because a lot of people may not be familiar with this, the suite of products that Breeze offers, because I know that there's even non-custodial Lightning that is provided by Breeze, and there's a, essentially like it's running a node. I mean, talk about what Breeze offers to plebs like me.
Yeah. When Breeze was founded by the three founders, they are very highly technical people. They were Bitcoiners, all of them. And when they read the white paper, they foresaw that this is the thing, the white paper for the Lightning Network, they foresaw that this thing can transform Bitcoin from store of value to become this media of exchange. And they said, okay, let's build upon this white paper, and we don't know exactly the code, or but this is the thing that could make that transformation. And the framework that they foresaw very smartly is that the Lightning Network is this complex beast that people don't want to deal with. Obviously, it's permissionless, and if you're a highly technical person, you can run your own node and earn fees. But for the normal user, that's unsustainable. And they said that it will be just like the internet. Internet is this complex system that's happening behind the scenes, and we are subscribed to an internet service provider that takes care of all that complexity. The cables, the routing, the scripts, like absolutely everything that I have no idea what behind it. And through our devices, whether it's a laptop, we have a browser in it, whether it's a mobile device and another browser or an application, we access this complex system called the internet through these browsers. And that's how they actually coined the term Lightning service providers. In the future, and the need will grow more and more to build these Lightning service providers that are taking care of all that complexity in the Lightning network. But when you open one application or one extension in your browser or whatever it is, can connect very easily for the every pleb. So can access this network and send Satoshis instantly and extremely cheaply. So that was the proper framework, like internet service providers and browsers, Lightning service providers and applications connected to the network. And that's how actually more and more people will get into this. And because we're not the only player in town, but we're building it a non-custodial way, now the custodial solutions feel the pressure of regulation, and they see what's happening in crypto. And the ethical people that are building on Bitcoin, and they built a custodial solution because it's less technically challenging. I would say this, but now because they foresee this future, okay, regulators will be coming to us, and we don't have a legal team that we can pay millions of dollars or to fight all those regulations and to comply with everything. We need to change our business to be non-custodial, so it's in cyberspace, it's in nobody's jurisdiction. There will be no KYC for any person. And people start reaching out and developing that future. So the next years, once the non-custodial ways become easier and more convenient than custodial ways, that's when the wave of people will join the Bitcoin network. And I am here for the human go-up number in the network. So I'm very, very excited about it.
I want you to describe for me this non-custodial product, or the way non-custodial works with Lightning. It's easy to wrap my head, and I'm sure other people's head, around how it works with on-chain. You know, you have your private keys, and that enables you to access your Bitcoin. But with Lightning, for the most part, people are accustomed with custodial type services like Wallet of Satoshi or whatever, where you just simply log in and sign up and you get access to a wallet and it's done, and you could send and receive Bitcoin through that rather quickly and seamlessly. How does non-custodial work for Lightning? And could you describe it for the plebs out there?
Most people know that Lightning works through setting up channels between peers. And the Lightning service provider actually takes care of opening the channels, closing the channels when it's needed or something happens. Also managing the inbound liquidity, because if I set up my own node, I have to send you some Satoshis on the other side of the channel so I can receive. So a Lightning service provider opens the channel and opens my own node, and they provide that liquidity so I can not only send, but I can also receive Satoshis in the network. And over a time of period, there is channel balancing that needs to happen in order to optimize your personal node. And again, if you're a highly technical person, this is a proper service that you can provide for yourself. And every single time when somebody uses one of your channels, so Satoshis comes through your node, you will earn a small portion of that transaction. And that's where the Lightning service provider comes in. It takes care of all that opening a node, opening a channel, managing the channel, the inbound liquidity, sending on-chain interoperability so you can receive funds this way. All that complexity you don't need to think about in the Breeze application and in other non-custodial. But there is a little bit of a trade-off. Now, and the trade-off is, because you don't take care of all that management, you don't earn those fees, but the Lightning service provider, because they're offering that service, they take care, they take the fees. You just click send Satoshis, receive Satoshis. That is it. And the only thing that I would say currently in the space that the custodial solutions have over the non-custodial is sending to a Lightning address. And once the Lightning network solves asynchronous payments, which means that I can send Satoshi and on the other side, the receiver doesn't have to be online, then even that will come into non-custodial solutions. And you can set up your node and you can set up with the Lightning address. And now, absolutely, all the features will be on the non-custodial solutions, and all the money are in your node. The keys are on your side, and it's very interesting. I would say next 12 months, because I think probably in the 12 months it will be solved, that issue. And we will see a big migration of custodial solutions reaching out and transforming to become non-custodial. So I don't know if you kind of grasp it, but I'm happy to answer even more questions about it.
Well, the one thing you mentioned that I really want to ask you about is sending Lightning payment when the recipient is not online. Technically, how is it going to be managed? Is it going to be held in some sort of repository until the recipient is sent online? I'm just trying to figure out the technicalities of this. Are you familiar with it, or is it still like truly a work in progress that there's no set to, way to fix this problem?
I would say, based on what I non-technically can understand, that is the true goal. That how do you send the thing to the person needs to receive it, and even it's not held into one of the intermediaries in the route. Based on what I know, is we're very close to solving that, but it needs to be stable enough. I don't know exactly how. Much more technical person than me needs to explain it, but that's the challenge for the non-custodial. The other thing is that custodial solutions don't pay. If I send you Satoshis to your just made account, right now you make an account in Wallet of Satoshi or a custodial solution, you don't need to pay a fee to set up a channel. In the non-custodials, you have to pay a little bit of a fee in order to open channels. And people don't really grasp that. Oh, why am I paying like these 2,000 sats to open, to send, let's say 3,000 sats? And that's just the initial fee to open the channel. Once you open the channel, then you transact with, I've sent through Breeze to people that I interact. The highest record was I sent 400,000 satoshis and I paid a fee, one satoshi for it.
It's incredible. The difference between the speed and the cost of sending a transaction on Lightning in comparison to on-chain, it's incredible. And the one thing that I hear, and Shinobi is one that talks about it frequently, maybe you could address this. He mentions that the scalability of Lightning, it's not able to address every human on Earth. And so there's scalability issues with Lightning. But the way I understand it, that's not the case because it's a mesh network, and I can't seem to wrap my head around that there's a limit to how much this could scale. Do you know of any limitations with the scaling of Lightning, or is it essentially unlimited?
Before we sense real problems about the scalability, we have to get on to at least a billion people. And haven't we heard that before? Like, haven't we heard, oh, the first layer is too slow or whatever? Like, when we face that challenge, we will adapt. We will build, so whether it's a different approach to the Lightning network or build a layer 3 or whatever it is, we will face even that challenge and build upon it. Just like 2 months ago, the fees on the first layer got so high, first time ever. And that affected the Lightning network, and people thought, oh, Bitcoin was dead or whatever. And because of that pressure on the Lightning network, every single person that is building on the Lightning network was building on how do I make my product better in this stressful environment. And on the other side of that equation, the whole industry is a much better place because of that pressure. And I foresee the same thing happening when we start facing some of the challenges about scalability over a billion people. But currently, we need to get to 10 million people using it currently. Maybe not 10 million, but let's say 100 million. And then we need to 10x that to even start thinking about this. But people start thinking even from now. But we have to fix the reliability currently, and to really make it a non-custodial way. Because if I can send you on the other side of the planet in just 2 seconds a payment that only you and I, and in this case, people that are watching the podcast know, but only you and I know, nobody else is involved. Somebody else is facilitating the payment, and they take the transaction fee of whatever, 0.02% of that transaction. Then it becomes a true global market. And just like in Canada, I can send those sats to Africa or the person next to me. And how do you stop that? How do you not see the value in that, especially in so many places? There's either a huge friction about sending the payment with high fees, or there's just a choke point where they don't allow you and creates additional friction. Oh, who are you? Why do you want to take the money out of your bank account and stuff like that? So, yeah.
So with respect to reliability, have you been noticing that overall payments are more likely to succeed now than they were in the past? I mean, as I've been using it, Lightning, for the past couple of years, it was still pretty good in the onset, but I find just over time, and the last bunch of times I've used it, the rate of failure is very low. It's not zero, but it's getting closer to zero. And do you find that is the same thing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say this, even the rate of failures now are because everybody is building so fast and into it, there are no standards. Like we started talking, is that because nobody built it before, that is the struggle. How do you actually create this thing that nobody made before? But if one company makes a leap forward, everybody else will leap forward with them. And this is a network effect, not only about the people sending, but in the companies building. Because most of the companies in the Bitcoin space are open source. And if somebody makes a breakthrough, that helps all of us, and we scale, whether on the reliability or the scaling of the thing. It's all good. And even if Bitcoin, let's say, shoots up 5x, now just because you will be sending a lesser amount in fiat denomination, that will actually improve reliability also, because failures happen with bigger payments. But if, let's say, the network can handle currently 4 million sats to reliably go anywhere, 4 million sats right now are what, maybe $2,000, maybe a little bit more. If that is not $2,000, but it's $20,000, because the price shifted up 10x and nothing changed, that will improve the reliability also. So, yeah.
Is there any fear of centralization taking place within the Lightning Network? Because if you look at the stats, last time I checked a couple of months ago, there seems to be less and less nodes that were operational. And the nodes that were in operation, they were bigger and bigger. So it just seems like on the surface, it was centralization taking place within Lightning. So is that a concern for you?
Yes, it is a concern. And custodial solutions are also creating a very highly valued target. When the regulators stop and win the fight with crypto, then we'll start attacking the custodial solutions on Bitcoin, because that's the next target. And it's, I would say, easy target, because there's a cluster of people there. But how Breeze is operating is with this open Lightning service provider model. That right now we are building an SDK that you don't need to be a Lightning developer. You just need to be a developer in order to plug in Lightning payments in your application. And with this SDK, you plug it in, but we also give you an option to connect to any Lightning service provider out there. You're not locked to Breeze as a Lightning service provider. So that means that if it's an open market, now you're incentivized to be a really good, efficient operator as a Lightning service provider and compete against everybody else. And you can compete with companies, or you can compete with individuals. If they set up a Lightning service provider, but it's just one person operating this environment, it could be he would earn, people will benefit, because it's competition. And not everybody operates in the space like that, but this open Lightning service provider model will become very valuable after we really stabilize the things that we need to improve. And as we talked, Vault 12 and asynchronous payments to allow the last feature that custodial solutions have on us. And yeah, it's really exciting. One other thing with this open Lightning service provider model is that right now, if you're an institution or you are just a whale in the Bitcoin space and you have the best practice of non-custodial in your hardware wallet, multi-sig situation or whatever, and the Bitcoin is there, you're not earning a yield. You're just holding, and that's the best practice. But at some point, Lightning service providers will earn yields, and also the Lightning network will want additional capacity in the network to increase the reliability, as we talked. And let's say you have 1,000 coins or 10,000 coins or whatever. You're a big institution and you don't want just to stay there. But when you see all this Lightning service provider is earning 4% yield yearly on their Bitcoin or what they have. So now there will be a game theory playing that, okay, how much am I comfortable putting in the Lightning network out of those 1,000 coins so I can earn a yield on that? And again, you don't need to do anything other than setting it up on your personal node. You have the keys and you just say, oh, I'm going to call C equal, or I'm going to call a Breeze and just connect in this matter. So I provide this liquidity, let's say out of the 1,000 coins, I'm going to give 400 in my own node so I can increase the reliability on the network. And my personal incentive is to earn yield. And now the Lightning service provider is not going to earn 4% yield yearly, but we're going to split the fees. So that person will earn 2% and the Lightning service provider will earn another 2%. And good luck when that thing goes viral. But right now, it's just extremely, extremely early building all that infrastructures to be very reliable. And also the real big players are not in the space yet. They're kind of touching the surface and they're touching the surface in a fiat manner. Okay, we're going to give you millions of dollars. But once they start, I'm going to not give you millions of dollars, but I'm going to buy Bitcoin and it's going to be in my possession, but I'm going to give it in such a way that when the Lightning service provider makes a payment, that payment goes through the Lightning service provider, gets the fee, then through that node of the 400 Bitcoin that I gave the example, he gets a fee, which is the yield. He doesn't take care again of any infrastructure, anything. He just earns yield. And it's extremely exciting, but we're not there yet, but we're getting there almost certain.
So when you talk about yield, just to clarify, because people may be wondering or raising an eyebrow, it's not the same type of yield that is done on DeFi where you simply lock it up and you stake it, so to speak. This is where you have it on your Lightning channel, your Lightning network, and your node, so to speak. And when there's payments that are routed through your Lightning node, you collect a small amount of those payments that are routed through. So that's the yield you're talking about. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly. As I talked, let's say I have Breeze as the mobile wallet and even the podcasting player in it. If I boost some Satoshis to this podcast, you're going to receive it on the other end, but that payment goes through different nodes. It's going to absolutely go through my Breeze node that I'm connected through the Lightning service provider. And let's say I'm sending you 1,000 sats. Breeze is going to take, let's say, 1 sat out of that. If there's another node that the payment goes through, they're going to say, okay, I want 2 more sats. And it ends up on your end. And I'm paying the fee to get to you. There is no inflation in the system. Mm-hmm. It is within the 21 million Bitcoin. Everybody is paying for the service to pay what I need to pay. But it's not something on top of that. I'm staking and the system is creating inflation and pays you with that inflation. That's moronic. And that's why the crypto people are either lying to you that they're giving you yield. Yes, they might be giving you yield, but it costs them nothing, which means that the yield that you're earning, the value is nothing. And it's devaluing everybody in the network. But this is not devaluing anybody because it's the hard cap and I'm paying to go through all those nodes. And if somebody says, oh, why do I need to pay? Like, okay, you're paying anyway, like pay with the card. You're going to pay 100 times more to route that payment, like 2-3% in the best case scenario. In the worst case, it's 8-9%. And it's just ridiculous. So that's what I mean, a yield, an actual yield. And a yield goes to those nodes because they're providing the service to make the payment. If I don't want to pay the yield to those nodes, don't make any payments. Just hoard it and stay isolated. And good luck not using money.
Have fun keeping your Bitcoin. But then I guess the next question I have, you were talking about, when we're talking about scalability, is the number of users coming to the system currently and then attracting more users in the future. What role does Nostr have to play with this? Because there's a lot of people out there that are migrating to Nostr, getting exposed to it, and learning about the whole Zaps thing. And then that, for people who are unaware, you're essentially sending Bitcoin sats to somebody based on a post that they put. So if you like the post and you want to reward them, you could zap them, so to speak, and you could send them whatever amount of Satoshi. So in your eyes, what role does Nostr have to play with the Lightning Network adoption?
Yeah, Nostr is a protocol. And our way to explain it is to make a metaphor, not a metaphor, because it's exactly like that. That if I have an email account, it is hosted by Gmail, Yahoo, like locally, whatever way. But we are connected through this HTTP protocol. And because the data is there, that's why I can send an email from Gmail to anything else and vice versa. Because the data goes through that protocol and can be received on the other side. But in the social media and the website space, that's not the case. That's why Twitter is a walled garden. Facebook, it's a walled garden. Yeah, you can send from Facebook to Instagram some interoperability between the two apps. But it's again in this Facebook and now Meta company. Like, will they allow it to be? And that's why the data that's in this company, it's extremely valuable, because they are scraping everything that would be known about us. And it's not your data, just like the money in your bank account is not your money once it's there. It's the bank's money. And your data in all those walled gardens in the social media space, it's their data. You're just borrowing it and using their networks. But Nostr is a completely different thing. And I tweeted that, for me, a metaphor is that right now Nostr is just like Bitcoin in 2010. But for freedom of speech, because it is like this. The Nostr protocol is where the data is held, and we're all connected to that thing. So if I'm connected to you in the Nostr protocol, I own that connection in the protocol. And on top of that, people are building the next Twitter social media, but that's just a way to visualize the data, just like the email. It can be visualized a certain way in Gmail and another way in Yahoo. That's the exact same way in Nostr. The data is in the protocol, but can be viewed through to look like Twitter, or to be viewed like YouTube or like Instagram, and quotation marks. That's not exactly Twitter, but Twitter-like designs. And if, let's say, that future Twitter bankrupts, it's exactly like the non-custodial Bitcoin. The Bitcoin stays in your possession, and the data in the Nostr protocol, because I own it, I can go to Instagram and I have all my connections there, all my posts there, everything that I have, my history, my data is in my possession. And even a level deeper is that I can even have that data in my own personal hardware. Like, even if I'm connected to many hardwares, let's say 10 relays to be distributed, if all those relays go down, I can plug my own hardware and have that data in my possession, which is really exciting and creating this sovereign way for our data. But on top of that is, again, if I post something on Nostr, and I post it through the visualization that is like Twitter, not only Twitter sees it, that let's say you are using Instagram there, that type of visualization, you are going to see that data because you're connected to the Nostr protocol. Everything is there. And if you place something there, that means it's for the first time the internet will be absolutely open, and that will open the freedom of speech. That is explaining the Nostr protocol and where Bitcoin comes in. Because it's built by Bitcoiners, you're not only sovereign about the data that you have there, but you're connecting your wallet also there. So just like the data is set there, you're coming with your own money. And you can, when people say zapping things, you can send with one click payment to anything that I like there. I like meme, I send some Satoshis. I post something, people from everywhere, from Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, like visualization can zap me back or send me money for the value that I brought to them. And it's extremely exciting. It's much more buggy than what we're used to in the fiat social media. But it's absolutely, again, unstoppable. We even saw that 3 weeks ago, one of the applications was banned from Apple because they are sending payments, and they said, how do you dare send payments for digital content? You need to pay Apple 30%. And they took down that method, and they created a completely new method 3 weeks after that news. And now, again, you can send the payments. So it's absolutely unstoppable, but just the tech is not there yet. And for every content creator out there, if you're not on Nostr, you're actually making a big disservice for your value. Because if you start playing with it, you will really understand why at some point Nostr will explode and everything else will start going down, and it will be parabolic for one to go up for Nostr, because everything is connected. So if the future Twitter, let's say they make something brilliant, it gives it to everybody else. So the next Instagram, because it's connected to the same protocol, also benefits because it's connected to the same thing, just like the fiat system. When every single fiat currency fails, people will start asking, where do I go? And some of that will go to Bitcoin. When another currency fails, we'll start going to Bitcoin. And that's how, again, we're just phasing out of one system, getting into the other. This will play out in Nostr absolutely the same way. But for Nostr, it's, I think it's the second year of developing. I don't think it's a 2 year. So
it's so new.
Like, how new is Bitcoin with 14 years? And now go back 12 years, and that's Nostr today. And when people say, oh, it's too hard or whatever, I don't have to do that in Twitter or whatever, people will be pushed out. There was another wave of Nostr usage when, again, there was news in Twitter that, oh, I want to have some limitations because of scraping issues or whatever.
Yes.
And people started to search for alternatives. And some of those people ended up on Nostr. And we saw a huge spike. And because I'm already in Nostr and I'm not a content creator, but people connected to me. Some of them started zapping me for no reason because I have some content. Now, imagine if you're a content creator and that's your job. Obviously, it's buggy and you don't have to spend all of your time there. We are not there yet. It's not as smooth, but you should definitely invest the time. Place it that Noster right now is the R&D segment for the content creators. Find out what really works, and you'll be so much ahead of everybody else that's not there. And when, let's say, Tucker Carlson comes to Noster, the content creators that are before him are going to capture some of that value of other people coming in.
It's incredible. And anybody out there that listened to this or watched this and has yet to use Noster or is not even bullish in it, like this, that speech alone would have changed your tune on it, or at least attracted a whole bunch of new users to the platform. And you're right. When Twitter had the scraping issue where they imposed limitations by how many tweets you could read, it was ridiculous. I mean, it's something that they could do. It's a centralized platform. Elon Musk owns it, so he could do whatever he wants. But it just goes to show you that a centralized product can impose limitations on its users. And Noster, it's untethers their users from that. So there's so much potential here, as you noted. And you're right. It's the infancy of this. It's so very early on in this game. Who knows what's going to transpire in the next few years or decade or so. Just like, as you mentioned, Bitcoin is very early on. But a decade ago, Bitcoin was clunky to use, difficult to use. But now it's a lot easier, and it's only going to get easier moving forward. So similarly, Noster, in terms of the social media aspect, is going to be easier to use as well. But just switching gears, I'm just curious, with respect to anybody out there that wants to run their own Lightning node, what software would you recommend, and even what hardware would you recommend?
Again, you're asking a technical question to a non-technical person. I'm not there. I would say ask some people that are much more competent about this. But I'm excited because now the solutions that you don't have to be a technical person can be plugged in to all the applications, to everything out there. And because in one of the podcasts that Greenlight and our CEO talked about is, if you're an app developer, they said, oh, let's give you this manual, then a second manual about security, then the third manual, and the developers go through half of the first manual, and there's I give up. But now you just plug in with a simple SDK. You have a cloud node, and not only that you're set up extremely instantly, but in your own application, you know nothing about the Lightning network. All that complexity is taken care of those Lightning service providers. And now for the users that are connected to that application, they can operate through the same balance. So that means that I can have the same balance in the Breeze application, in the podcasting application, in the POS system, or anything else that is connected to the same balance. I can send. I don't have to have one balance in Wallet of Satoshi, one balance in Phoenix, one balance in Breeze, one balance in Aave, all those things. But everything is connected to the same balance. And for the users, will start very exciting. will be because it will be competing on the fiat experience level. Because imagine if you had to have 50 credit cards because every card is a different network. No, you have just one and you pay everywhere with it, connecting to the proper network. That is what is coming on the next months and year in the Lightning space. And it's hugely exciting because the non-technical people will start building on it, and the non-technical users will experience the easiness of non-custodial Lightning Bitcoin, and they'll just start using it. They don't care about the complexity and ideology. They just want to send money, and I'm able to do so, and I want to receive money. When we fix that experience to be extremely easy and extremely cheap, then the fiat payment system has absolutely no chance.
We're going to crush it. It's a legacy system. It has decades, if not longer, of a head start. It has all this technical knowledge, all these people behind it, and all this political will and all this. And still, it's going to lose because greed and centralization ultimately is going to take it down. That is too bad. Ivan, before we sign off, because it's getting kind of late, and I have another interview in about 10 minutes' time, just want to pass the baton over to you. Talk about anything you want, and also where people can find you if they want to reach you, have any questions, anything along those lines. So, Ivan, the floor is your. Actually, I'm going to make a call an audible here. Before we do that, we have somebody that wants to ask you a question. Ryan, the nuclear Bitcoiner, who I'm going to be interviewing in just a few minutes, asked me if he could pop on because he wants to ask you a question. Ryan, do you hear me?
You can hear me all right. Cool.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
So Ryan has a question for you, Ivan. So Ryan, floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, so I only caught the last 20 minutes or so. I jumped in at about 30 minutes when you were explaining about Breeze and the Lightning service providers and how basically that's some way that people that amass a treasury of Bitcoin can put it to work somehow. What I'm up to is getting power providers and power generation owners to try and especially in the nuclear industry, to try and understand the value of Bitcoin and ways that they can use it once they begin mining it for themselves. So I was just wondering if like that was any thoughts on like power companies, like basically becoming Lightning service providers in some way or shape, because they're going to become miners sooner or later.
There is one company that is really optimizing the Lightning network for that industry, everything in the power sector and the energy sector. Shout out to Sinota. What they are building is with the speed that you receive the energy, the electricity, they send with that same speed the Satoshis back or the payments back to them. And that's absolutely instant payments. And it will change absolutely everything. We're barely scratching the surface with the store of value of Bitcoin. And just the instant settlement will change so much more to our behavior that people will stop receiving money for their time and receive a wage for doing, let's say, sitting on a chair and doing nothing. But if you do work, you receive money at that exact time. You send me energy, you receive Satoshi. You are a construction worker and you build a wall. When you're done building the wall, that's when you receive the money, not at the end of the day. And just that will completely switch everything. But definitely shout out to Sinota, and you should reach out and ask them those questions. I would fail in comparison to their expertise.
Yeah, I actually had an opportunity to speak with Austin when I met him at Adopting Bitcoin, and we were talking about how it can be applied to different utilities and all throughout the value chain of an electrical generation system, along with the distribution and the transmission. And like, if people own different parts of that transmission, they can essentially create their own. It's essentially nodes and channels, similar to how the Lightning network works, except you're managing electricity. So yeah, that is interesting that we've kind of found a way that we can exchange the value in the opposite direction in real time as we're consuming electrons or countless other utilities or like human capital and labor.
Anything. Yeah. Absolutely anything. And and I would say that even the way that you explain it, they already have a business. They don't want to think, oh, what is this Lightning network complexity? Oh, what is this payment network? Oh, I need to become an expert developer in this, but it's completely new. I don't know where to start from. They want to focus on providing energy. If you have a brick and mortar shop and you sell fashion, you want to focus on that. And that's why we need so many more Lightning service providers to take care of that complexity for every single industry out there, and we're just barely scratching the surface now. And solutions are coming out for specialized knowledge. There is a company specializing in gaming industry. There is a company specializing in energy. There is a solution specializing in this and that. And that will facilitate everything to happen even faster. Going back to how I started, we have internet service providers and we have browsers to access that network. It will be exactly the same way for users about the lightning service providers. Whether you're a business and you want to be connected so you can facilitate your business to crush the margins of the payments network and get them out of business. But it's again hard to switch the mindset, but the need is there, absolutely there. The benefit is also absolutely there. We have to just build it. And it's a slow grind of the education. But once you orange peel a person, once you orange peel a company, there is no going back. That is why there is no way that we will lose this fight, because maybe some people take a religion and get an orange peel, but what is the count of those people? I would say that we're just getting more and more industries in it, more and more companies, more and more players, and that's what counts. Because one of that person will have a business and will say, I just want the lightning service provider and I want to focus providing the best service that I can do for my customers. And that's where it's going.
You know what, before I want to thank you, Ryan, for jumping on, and you're going to be going through this process just in a few minutes. Ivan, I'm just going to pass on the baton to you. Where could people reach you if they have any questions? What's going on with you for the next little while? The floor is yours for a little bit here.
Yeah. Outreach me in Twitter or in Nostr, as we talked. My handle in Twitter is Naku2000, N-A-C-K-O-O 2000. And in Nostr, I'm Naku2000 at nostrplebs.com. Find me there or any other social media. Reach out. We can chat about anything, whether it's the SDK, whether it's just philosophy, whether you just want to come to my meeting in my hometown because I started the first one ever. Like anything, Bitcoin is game. So I'm happy to be outreached and really happy when somebody says, okay, let's meet.
Well, appreciate you coming on, and same to you, Ryan. And for everybody out there that is watching, we'll be back in just 3 minutes for Ryan's interview. And for the audio side, I'm not sure which is going to be released first, but there's going to be a lot of audios released this week. But for everybody that's tuning in, thank you so much. And Ivan and Ryan, thank you as well.
Yep. Thank you.